guitar up.
One,
turn
two,
that guitar three. Up.
Redbeard here, and today in the studio, the conclusion of our two-part conversation with Jimmy Page on the anniversary of Led Zeppelin's Physical Graffiti.
During this whole period preceding that, going in, I had my home recording studio, which was multi-track. So I was able to try out all sort of experiments of the guitar orchestration of it. And so I had the whole structure of it and all the parts. Normally I wouldn't necessarily work everything out in such fine detail, but for this I wanted to have like a whole guitar orchestra working. Hi there, you're listening to Jimmy Page and I'm in the studio. You're also going to be hearing items from the 40th anniversary edition of Physical Graffiti.
In February 1975, something was obvious before we even opened Led Zeppelin's custom die-cut album cover wrapped around the two discs that encompassed Physical Graffiti. After five preceding albums, Led Zeppelin's creative well was anything but dry. Apparently, they had hit a geyser of creativity with too many A-list songs to fit on a single disc. The next thing about Physical Graffiti overall, from the opening staccato guitar notes of Custard Pie, the flat-out unabashed danceability of Trampled Underfoot, and the raw funk of the Wanton song, the funky flavor that had just begun to inform some of the rockers on their preceding album, Houses of the Holy, was now switchblade fast and surgically precise. Guitarist Jimmy Page was now playing much more off of world-class drummer John Bonham in rhythmic sparring and jabs, which in turn opened up the space in the arrangements for multi-instrumentalist John Paul Jones to fill with equally funky new keyboard textures, such as the electric clavinet and electric piano. The other musical hallmark of Led Zeppelin's Physical Graffiti is the embrace for the first time of non-Western instruments, first hinted at on Led Zeppelin's 3, but largely abandoned on the 4th album. The innovation that Jimmy Page had employed by recording Led Zeppelin 4 in a reverberant actual house instead of an acoustically dead recording studio was further perfected when he and Led Zeppelin drummer John Bonham returned to the house in early 1974. Here's Jimmy Page with me in the studio.
On the second return to Headley, which was basically for what was going to become Physical Graffiti, John Bonham was thrilled to go back to Headley, because his drums had sounded so phenomenal on the 4th album on Levee Breaks and all that. He just really, really wanted to get back there because it was just so sympathetic to acoustic drums, which is what basically it is, you know. And so he was really, really thrilled to be going back, and I was really thrilled to be going back. There's no doubt about the fact that it was a horses for courses thing, that, you know, for example, the drums for Kashmir and the drums for In My Time of Dying are in the hall. I'll just give you that. But when it comes down to, I heard the drum sound in my head for Kashmir before we even got there, and it was interesting that by the time we did get to Headley Grange, it was just John Bonham and myself working on the stuff. Yeah. So I was able to work with him with Kashmir, it with the drums in the hall, and that was really, really cool.
Traveler of all time and space.
Thank you.
But here's the other side of it, is that because it was a huge expanse of a hall, you can hear the dynamics of the ambience in that. But on something like 10 Years Gone, then you're not going to have you're not going to need that really huge drum sound. And so it was back into the room which is like the equivalent of a sitting room, you know, the main sort of family get together room, you know. And so, yeah, knowing, having done the preliminary of the fourth album there, you could sort of know instinctively what way to approach what.
The exotic grandeur of Led Zeppelin's Kashmir was groundbreaking in Western contemporary music. First Jimmy Page and then Robert Plant both agree that the international touring by Led Zeppelin by the time of Making Physical Graffiti had exposed them to new sounds, instruments, and rhythms long before anyone coined the term world music. Here's Jimmy Page, followed by Robert Plant.
There are times in your life musically that really have a substantial effect upon you. It's like the very first time, really, when you started to hear like rock music and blues, but those sort of things. And there are musics and vibes of places which live with you forever. So they don't go. The mantle doesn't go. You just take more colours onto this mantle.
At a specific time.
Yeah.
We may not actually have a dalliance again with the Egyptian thing for a long, long time to come. Morocco is just another thing altogether, and really, at this point, whoever's playing, whatever stations are picking up this program, should just play a bit of Moroccan hill music and listen to the vocals. It's just like some kind of blues from Mars. It's amazing. The sound, the intonation, the color of the music, the exotic landscapes, the whole deal it's so tremendous. There's such a kind of humour and lightness about the place. North Africa, it's amazing. And, I mean, you could really quite get enlarge upon it, no doubt, but, I mean, basically, it's just another blues.
Do you know my name? Do I?
That's Sick Again from Led Zeppelin's 40th Anniversary Deluxe Edition of Physical Graffiti. Next, Jimmy Page discusses the exotic In the Light, as well as the furiously funky Wanton Song. Follow In the Studio on Facebook, on Twitter at Redbeard Rocks, and online at inthestudio.net. I'm Redbeard with Jimmy Page, In the Studio, for the Anniversary Deluxe Edition of Led Zeppelin's Physical Graffiti Part 2.
Hi there, you're listening to Jimmy Page and I'm in the studio. You're also going to be hearing items from the anniversary edition of Physical Graffiti.
Thank you, Jimmy. I'm Redbeard. One of the most exotic, boundary-busting songs on this or any Led Zeppelin album was the progressive rock multi-movement suite called In the Light. Led Zeppelin guitarist, composer, and producer Jimmy Page told me how the introductory banquet of exotic musical flavors was cooked up.
I'd already been playing the guitar with a bow, that first album, okay? So I'd been continuing that all the way through in live performances, and I wanted to do it on an acoustic guitar. I mean, so it doesn't take that much of a giant leap to go from one thing to another, do you know what I mean? Not in the imagination. So, but I wanted to really have something which had like this thick drone with this drawn out sound, so people wouldn't know what it was. And that's it, you hear the machines basically going on as they sort of speed in, or you know what I mean? You get they come up to speed and you hear a couple of them going up. That's more in the final mixing stage of it, if you like, but that, nevertheless, the whole idea of having like this bowed acoustic guitar and the texture of it, I thought it was superb, and it makes a wonderful bed for what John Paul Jones is going to put on afterwards, which is this incredible synthesizer part, which is something like a Shenhai, an Indian instrument. But he'd probably turn his nose up at me saying that. No, it's me on the synthesizer. But you know what I mean? It was evocative and it was marvelous and it was superb.
Thank you. everybody needs a lie. Ooh, yeah, yeah. Ooh, baby. Everybody, everybody, everybody should love that
Multi-movement progressive rock classic was originally entitled Everybody Makes It Through, and that original working title recording is one of several previously unreleased gems that are now included on the deluxe edition of Physical Graffiti's third bonus disc. We have Jimmy Page to thank for making them available.
You have to understand that what I was doing, I was archiving all my own material, which went back to, like, when I was living with my parents and doing, like, early songs and, you know, multi-track recording and all of that. And it was going through chronologically, so I got through to the point of the Yardbirds and I did all of that. And then it got to the point, obviously, the next thing after the Yardbirds is Led Zeppelin. And I was really keen to be able to listen to all of it. And I was doing it. I was archiving my own collection. So being the producer of the band, I had lots of points of reference of tapes that would be like mixes, rough mixes, or even alternate versions of songs, or even alternate mixes from the final ones that we all know and love on the albums. But I had countless analog tapes at home, and I was going through this whole period.
Yeah.
Furious Funk on the Physical 40th, courtesy of Led Zeppelin and the Wanton Song. Thanks to impeccable remastering by Jimmy Page, you can now really identify the unique organ effect Page uses on his guitar solo on Wanton Song.
It's it's one of two things. It's either a Leslie Cabinet or it's a unit, which was called, what was it called? But it was something that emulated the sound of a Leslie Cabinet, one of those stomp boxes with your foot. It's either or.
Still to come, Jimmy Page reveals his absolute dedication to maintaining the highest standards for Led Zeppelin, now and in the future. Follow In the Studio on Facebook, on Twitter at Redbeard Rocks, and additional interviews from Robert Plant online at inthestudio.net. I'm Redbeard with Jimmy Page, in the studio, exploring the anniversary deluxe edition of Led Zeppelin's Physical Graffiti Part 2.
Hi there, you're listening to Jimmy Page and I'm in the studio. You're also going to be hearing items from the anniversary edition of Physical Graffiti.
It's truly an honor, Jimmy. I'm Redbeard, and the Sonics, plus the relaxed residential atmosphere of the English country manor house Headley Grange, had been so successful for Led Zeppelin when making 1971's Led Zeppelin IV there that, understandably, producer-composer-guitarist Jimmy Page was eager to get back.
The whole prospect of going into Headley Grange for a second time round, and, well, what it would mean to me was that on every album I would have so many songs under my belt going in with, you know what I mean? And during this whole period preceding that, preceding having going in, I had my home recording studio, which was multi-track. So I was able to try out all sort of experiments of the guitar orchestration of it and of what was going to become 10 years gone. So I had the whole structure of it and all the parts. Normally I wouldn't necessarily work everything out in such fine detail, but for this I wanted to have like a whole guitar orchestra working, and so it was important to sort of know up front what you were sort of doing. And plus there's a number of sections on 10 Years Gone where, and movements and things, and I'd already sort of constructed all of this before going in, and so yeah, it's another thing that I had under my belt, ready, willing and able.
Then again it will be, though the course may change sometimes, rivers always reach the sea. That's all right with me. In the midst, I think of you and how it used to be. We'll be right back.
was just the first time.
Got to say that Robert, he just came forward with these lyrics that he was writing for it, and the lyrics are just superb. It's just so hand in glove. The thing just works beautifully.
Jimmy Page there talking about Led Zeppelin song from Physical Graffiti's deluxe edition entitled 10 Years Gone, one of the most sublime recordings in the Led Zeppelin canon. As producer, Jimmy Page was charged with assembling and remastering the considerable amount of music on the original Physical Graffiti double album, plus now a third disc of previously unreleased demos and works in progress. Over the four decades since release, the physical limitations of musical formats, including record, vinyl, compact disc, and now digital files, have all presented different challenges to the same thing, having us hear what Led Zeppelin heard when they recorded it.
That's the thing about, if we start talking about compression, that's what was going on with sort of CDs, certainly with vinyl in the old days, because you'd have a bass peak, then the album would jump. So, but now we've got the mastering and cutting techniques to be at such a high level now that you can allow for all this sort of space. It doesn't get squashed, not compressing it so much, so that it opens the whole area up. The main example I'll give you is something that gets squashed is when you listen to MP3, and I know everyone goes on and on and on about it, but the thing is, for me, it was one of the things that really why I really wanted to make sure that we had the things in these different formats, but at the best possible quality that could be done. So, you know, when it gets to the vinyl and all of that, it really, really is impressive. The one thing that you don't want to be doing is putting out greatest hits and then, like, 18 months later, another greatest hits and all of that. There's far more substance to Led Zeppelin than just having to do that, because first of all, we weren't doing singles anyway, so even that whole prospect of doing that sort of thing is rather difficult. Revisiting the the whole of the catalogue, and passionately wanting it to remaster it across vinyl and CD and all the rest was really important. But also knowing that the whole situation with the digital is that there are sort of changes afoot, and I didn't want to actually have to go back in and do any other stuff or be responsible for any stuff. I just wanted to make sure that it was all done. So there are files for digital that are prepared at such a high spec that no matter what comes in, we're already ready for it. So that's the sort of way I'd want to look at things if I was going to do them. It's like, don't just do a short, you know, sweet little, like, put out these albums with a couple of bonus tracks. No, I'd want to see things in a much, much bigger scale and hope, of course you can only hope, that you've got it right with your sort of projections of what may be happening in the future. I think quite clearly on this catalogue, it's sort of worked. It's worked really well because there's just so many treats for people who listened to Led Zeppelin and have got a real affection for it. That all this extra material is just so good, you know.
Rolling Stone road manager turned sideman, the late Ian Stewart on upright piano, that's Boogie with Stu, from the anniversary deluxe edition of Led Zeppelin's Physical Graffiti. I'm Redbeard. I'll be back in the studio after this. This is Redbeard in the studio, thanking my guests Robert Plant and Jimmy Page. Also, special thanks to Rich Mahan Promotions, Mike Engstrom, and Jason Elzey of Rhino Entertainment. In the Studio is written and produced by yours truly, Redbeard, for Bearded Fish Productions. Copyright 2015, all rights reserved. For this and your other favorite interviews and live performances by the biggest names in rock, visit inthestudio.net.